Hey fam, it is Phoenix Kalita. Thank you for hanging out with me in the wine cellar. I have some news, I have some headlines, I have some stuff, I have some things. I also have a show intro, I also have a trigger warning, and we are going to get to that in just a minute. If I have time, I have a rant specifically about how y'all really fucking be using anti-blackness to call out anti-blackness. It's fucking weird, and I am uncomfortable with it. I don't fucking like that shit. So we gonna talk about that shit. Basically, stop shitting on black people to make a point about what the fuck black people do or do not do. So, I'm finna get to that. In the meantime, it is Wednesday. That means I have some of the finest white-on-white crimes that you will hear about this week, because white people are fucking ridiculous, quite frankly. So we are going to do all of that. Yeah, because it's fun, and mostly because it amuses me, like, honestly. I'm entirely amused by the way that white people behave. So, let me see. Do I have a...
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.
You are indeed about to listen to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar. But first, because we are responsible podcasters to a certain extent, we're going to play the show opener and we're going to play the trigger warning. Because trigger warnings matter. Yes, all trigger warnings. All trigger warnings matter.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I will tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Yes, indeed. People being total fucking assholes. Also, I just sat on my headphones. That's a little bit fucking awkward. I might have just broke them shits, for real. So, in the meantime, hey, you're in the wine cellar. So let's talk about some shit. Let's do some shit. Let's get to the shit. It's a shitty kind of thing. Maybe, maybe not. Alright, so, I have a few stories to get to. I also have a bunch of... My fucking notifications on Facebook are, like, fucked up because I made a series of... I made a series of comments in a thread that was just, like, shitting on a black mother because she's basically, like, ignorant and hood and shit. And they were like, call the authorities, call CPS. And I was like, so, I understand, like, she's trash, but, calling CPS is not necessarily in the best interest of the child. And so people have been mad at me all day, so my notifications are fucking doing some kind of thing. However, I have actual news about things that actually matter. Whoop, whoop. So, I guess we will start with, what? Okay, we can start with this one because it's Florida. And y'all know how Florida operates. Florida is fucking awesome.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
So I just want to preface this. I don't have the video going, but the guy, you know, you can see his mugshot. He fucking looks like, I think his name is Jeremy Irons. He's like a British actor. He's the guy who was the voice of Scar in The Lion King. He looks like that. So that also amuses me. So, Florida man charged with attempted murder after failed marriage proposal. Weird. It's almost like she did the right thing by turning you down. Okay, well, let's see what Florida man did. Florida man attempted to shoot and kill his ex-girlfriend the day after she rejected his marriage proposal. The victim told police that she and suspect Gordon Covey, had broken up about 5 years ago. Nigga, y'all broke up 5 years ago and you still trying to marry her? She said no 5 years ago. Let it go, man. All right. The woman told investigators that on November 30th, Covey proposed to her, and when she refused, Covey, aged 48, forced a ring onto her finger. If y'all niggas don't stop trying to force people into shit, she said no, let her choose, let her live, let her be. Alright, so he forced a ring onto her finger. She later took off the ring and left it in Covey's car as he drove her to her parents' home. The next day, she received a series of threatening text messages from Covey, according to the arrest report. You don't deserve to be fucking loved, and don't ever threaten me with the police. Nigga, if you run around trying to stab people and shoot people because they won't marry you, yeah, actually, the police should be involved, and I don't even like police. I'm saying that as somebody who doesn't even fucking like police, police need to be fucking involved. Alright, I will do something fucking crazy, go ahead and try me. Y'all, my beloveds, my lovelies, my darlings, my pets, my sweethearts. If a white man tells you he's going to do something fucking crazy, please believe him and get the fuck out of Dodge, because he will really, truly do something that will be defined as crazy, because white men don't really play like that, you know? All right, so the victim told police that Covey demanded she return the ring. Nigga, she left it in your car. She already fucking returned it when she said no. The fuck? Alright, so he said, return the ring that is already in my possession because you've already returned it. And a dress he said he bought her and $60. $60? The fuck? Alright, nigga. She said she told him the ring could be found in his car. And police say Covey tried to kill the woman on December 1st. She was in a friend's mobile home when she and a friend say Covey and another person approached and banged on the door. This nigga bought friends. This nigga tried to go on a homicidal killing spree and brought friends. What the fuck kind of weirdo are you that you be like, what? You finna go kill your ex-girlfriend that you haven't been with in 5 years that won't marry you now after she broke up with you 5 years ago? Let me get in on that shit. What you need, a machete? A handgun? I don't know. A fucking Gatlinger gun? I don't know. What the fuck? Gatling guns? Let's do it. I don't fucking know. So he banged on the door with a friend, and a deputy says a surveillance video from a nearby business shows Covey returning to his car when no one answered. From the vehicle, Covey could be seen on the video, reaching into the driver's side and holding a gun. And the deputy said muzzle flashes could be seen as Covey fired at the mobile home repeatedly. 11 spent shell casings were found outside the home. Several hit the structure, and at least one bullet hit inside, hitting a refrigerator. Covey and a 16-year-old suspect. Oh, that's fucked up. He brought a fucking little kid with him to do that grimy-ass shit. Y'all some fucking horrible-ass adults that y'all be having kids fucking coming out with you trying to do some shit. If you're going to be a... Yeah, don't fucking bring kids with you. That's not right. That's not right. So Kobe and a 16-year-old suspect were later arrested when Kobe's car was found at the scene of an unrelated drug overdose. What the fuck is this man doing with his life? He's trying to propose to people that tried to leave him 5 years ago. He's fucking shooting up mobile homes and refrigerators. He's fucking looking for wedding rings that are already in his car because they've been returned to him. He's fucking at the scene of a drug overdose. This nigga is living a lot of life, but not the right kind of life, tell you what. So, Kobe was charged with first-degree attempted murder, aggravated stalking, shooting into an occupied dwelling, and a felon in possession of a firearm. Oh, so he's a convicted felon. Aight. A plea has not yet been entered in the case. Okay. Right. That's awesome. So this is gonna go fucking well. Whew, Lord have mercy. Aight. What else? Let me see what else I have here.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
This show is indeed brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give. So, I have another story. I think this is also a Florida story, maybe? It features a white man with like an alt-right kind of haircut named Michael Scott Wolf, who is 37. Hey, that's like my age. And was sentenced to 15 years in prison. So, he is a man who, did some shit. A man who vandalized a Central Florida mosque by smashing windows and lights with a machete and leaving bacon at the scene. That's just fucking weird. Y'all need to stop listening to, like, these, like, radical, like, right-wing outlets. Most Muslims are not, like, offended by fucking bacon. They just don't eat it. Like, I understand that, like, when you're a right-winger, you, are offended by things. You need to, like, I'm gonna boycott this shit because it's not right. A lot of other people don't like shit, but they don't make a big deal about it. They just don't do it. So this whole, like, leaving bacon at a mosque thing is weird and very, very juvenile, I might add. Alright, so, let's see. This man smashed windows and lights with a machete, because white people should have machetes, apparently. And left bacon at the scene, pleaded guilty to criminal mischief in a place of worship. And the state's attorneys serving the Brevard and Seminole counties said Michael Wolf was sentenced to 15 years in prison, followed by 15 years of probation. But I mean, like, he's literally gonna spend like 8 years in prison. Was it really worth it to leave bacon in a mosque for 8 years in prison? 8 years in prison, bacon in a mosque. 8 years in prison, bacon in a mosque. It just doesn't seem worth it. But all right. So, let's see. So he was sentenced to 15 years, followed by 15 years of probation. The sentence had a hate crime enhancement. The 37-year-old was sentenced as a habitual offender. That's what white people say when they really want to say, this nigga been here before. This nigga got record. He got a record. All right, so he's a habitual offender. Titusville police arrested Wolf in January 2016 after the New Year's Day vandalism. Oh my god, is that what you opted to do with your life? You got drunk on New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day are like, I'm gonna leave bacon in a mosque because it's gonna upset the Muslims. That's what the fuck you want to do with your life? Aight, nigga. A surveillance video showed him smashing... And then I got caught on the surveillance video. How the fuck you do all that? Alright, fine. No, it's good you're on the surveillance video. It makes it easier for everyone else. So the surveillance video showed him smashing lights, cameras, and windows with a machete. Bacon was left by the front door. Consumption of pork and pork products. Oh, right, yeah. So they say consumption of pork and pork products is forbidden in Islam. Which we know, we have the sign that says, pigs are haram. Which means forbidden. But, like, honestly, though, that's just weird. That's really just weird. But, I mean, I don't know, does it fucking, seem worth it to, you know, what, like, get sentenced to 15 years in prison to leave bacon in a fucking mosque? I don't know. Oh, and then, of course, it gave me the link to the... This is the... You might also be interested in. Let me see. So the man who smashed numerous windows at the Islamic Center was arrested, and he bragged about the vandalism. If you commit a felony, you should probably not tell people. Let's see. So he entered the center by breaking a window and entering the women's bathroom. Okay. Oh, they threw me off. This is a whole other story. This is a whole other nigga. When is this from? Let me see. Does it say? It doesn't have... Oh. Well, all right. This is also from December. Apparently, December is a busy time for fucking up mosques, I guess. So this is in North Palm Beach. And authorities took Joshua Killitz, age 27, of Juno Beach into custody the same day with charges of burglary, damaging a church, synagogue, mosque, or religious institution. A Facebook account with Killitz's name includes pictures of him holding a handgun and an AR-15 rifle. It's almost fucking like. You can tell that white people are going to be violent if they have a fucking, background picture on their social media of them holding a fucking AR-15. That AR-15 will put down any radical Islamic, I guess, because radical Islamic is a term that we use. I wish they would. It's about time. The world's gone crazy. I'm gonna be ready to... This white ass nigga did not say, I'm gonna be ready to protect minds. And when I said I'm a, that wasn't my inflection. That was how he wrote it. He literally wrote, I'm going to be ready to protect minds, with an S at the end. Best believe. Nigga. Stop it. But as of Monday, authorities haven't said whether Killitz could face any hate-related charge. Before the vandalism, Killitz posted on his Facebook page in November he was accepted to Palm Beach Atlantic University, where his mother works. Ha ha ha. The university website lists her as an associate dean. I'm looking at his picture right now. This is a very, very, very white. Like, he's like a ginger. This is like a white-ass nigga. He looked like he's fucking Irish or Scottish or some shit. So... congratulations, Mr. Killitz, which is ironically probably a very appropriate name. So, university spokeswoman Becky Peeling said Joshua Killitz had been accepted to an adult degree program with classes to begin in January, but given recent events, we're evaluating the status of that acceptance. Ha ha. Peeling said the university condemns the act of vandalism against a religious institution, and Killitz are contrary to the community values of this university. Peeling said the school community strongly disagrees with the post on his Facebook page, and the vandalism just happened just days after the... Oh, jeez. Florida, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? Like, seriously, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? I don't know. Like, y'all really just be, like, doing some wild-ass shit. So, alright, that's what's going on in Florida. I have another story... Let me see if I can pull it up. If this would load, that would be awesome.
Negroes doing Negro stuff.
So the title reads, they tried everything from bike parts to cans, but they couldn't break the glass. When at first they did not succeed, they tried again and again and again. All right, Sarah Neely, I see you. You're having fun writing this. I get it. It was around 3:30 a.m. on November 25th when three people tried to force their way into Steinbrenner High School in Lutz, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. The three men were, quote, determined to get into the building using whatever they could find to break windows, according to the Sheriff's Office. However, they were not successful. Surveillance video provided by the sheriff's office shows three people in a white car approaching the building. They started kicking the doors and slamming the items against the windows. The three people even went back and forth from the car several times, coming back with new items in hand. At one point, they tried to throw a bicycle wheel and seat against the window. Why? What are y'all niggas doing? They even threw beverage cans, which broke open and spilled on the concrete, but did not break the glass. What the fuck is y'all glass windows made out of? Is that some, like, bulletproof shit? Is that what they're doing in schools now? They know school shootings are real, so they're just trying to fucking, like, what? Like, keep shit locked up? So, the video shows attempts that lasted several minutes. The sheriff's office describes the people in the video as three men between the ages of 18 and 22 years old. And short brown hair, medium build, black hair, and yeah, they're all white. They're white. That's all you need to fucking know. Deputies believe the vehicle was a BMW. Because that's what I would do. I would work hard enough to get a BMW and then fucking fuck it up doing some shit like this. And although they did not get inside, they did manage to cause $2,500 in damage to window panes and the door. Wow. Okay, well, I mean, white people have weird hobbies. That's really all I got with that. It is.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
All right, so I had to take a break for a second there, but I am now back with you. Haha. All right, I have one more story that I just found, and then we are going to get to my little rant of the day. So this one, because this is just, fun times? Fun times as a serf, as a worker, as a laborer, when you live in a fucking oligarchy, basically. So, a proposed rule would protect employers who steal workers' tips. Because why the fuck not, right? Alright, so today the Trump administration took their first major step towards allowing employers to legally take tips earned by workers they employ. The Department of Labor released a proposed rule rescinding portions of its tip regulations, including current restrictions on tip pooling, which would mean that, for example, restaurants would be able to pool tips servers receive and share them with untipped employees, such as cooks and dishwashers. But, crucially, the rule does not require employers to distribute pooled tips to workers. Under the administration's proposed rule, as long as the tipped workers earn minimum wage, the employer can keep the tips. Just work hard, they said. Your hard work will pay off. The system will give back to you, they said. Has it occurred to you that they're lying yet? So, and also, like, I gotta point out, this is the fucking Trump administration, and I know, like, you know, I'm not trying to get at Trump just because he's Trump, but for a guy whose entire fucking living is, like, based on owning, like, casinos and golf courses and shit, I can see why this nigga doesn't want people to collect tips. I get it. Alright, so, and what we know is that employers will do just that. Recent research suggests that the total wages stolen from workers due to minimum wage violations exceeds $15 billion each year, and workers in restaurants and bars are much more likely to suffer minimum wage violations than workers in other industries. Wow, it's almost like working hard doesn't actually matter at the end of the day. With that much illegal wage theft currently taking place, it seems obvious when employers can legally pocket tips, they will do so. It's worth noting how deeply unusual it is that there are no actual estimates in the proposal of the amount of money that would be shifted from workers to employers as a result of the rule, even though the data that researchers use all the time is available. So the data is available, they just don't want to tell you the numbers because they know how fucked up it is. Which is, like, the whole thing, like, with this, I mean, and it's not just this administration, but, like, the GOP especially, also, a lot of Democrats, particularly people in leadership positions in the Democratic Party, they know exactly how fucked up their policies are, they just don't want to fucking admit that shit, right? And, because if they did, there would be, you know, an uproar or an outcry or people would be upset, but it's like, if you just lie about it or don't talk about it, people don't necessarily ask questions. People don't necessarily have the time to be, like, super informed on these kind of topics, which is why we do what we do in the wine cellar, quite honestly, you know. Like, we're trying to, as we say, keep the world a little bit more informed, make the world a little bit of a better place, you know? And this is why we cover the things we cover. A lot of people be like, oh, well, it was just a change to, you know, the current tip thing, or the current tip, you know, legalities, legislation, rules, and enforcement, without really understanding how that's going to impact servers or bartenders or, you know, people who rely on tips for their income as long as they make minimum wage. And I would point out, too, minimum wage in a lot of places is not a living... Actually, minimum wage pretty much anywhere is not a living wage, right? I just did the, I think it was MIT, did a living wage calculator. So in, you know, the county I live in Illinois, living wage for one person is like, I think, $12.80 an hour. Minimum wage is actually, I think, $8.25 or $8.50 an hour. So that's like a $4 an hour difference. And then imagine if they took your tips on top of that shit, right? So you might actually be able to make $12 an hour if you were... you know, waitressing or working as a bartender, and then your employer's gonna take your shit. So, keep an eye on that. But also, more importantly, keep an eye on what's going on with, you know, bartenders and, waiters and things like that, and make sure that they're getting tipped, I guess on the low, so their employers don't know, you know? Because they deserve to be tipped for what they do. I know, there's this whole, like, thing about people like, oh, but you know, why should I have to tip? I shouldn't have to tip because it's their boss's job. It might be their boss's job, but their bosses don't do it. And you're going out to eat knowing that their bosses don't do it. So you kind of an asshole if you don't tip your server, because your server does not actually get paid minimum wage. They get paid less than minimum wage because it's assumed that they will end up making at least the equivalent of minimum wage. And I know y'all be like, well, just find a different job, or I don't have to tip, or that's not fair. It's not fair. But telling somebody to just find a different job is really some, like, classist bullshit, you know? People have the jobs they have for reasons. Like, it might be because they need that particular schedule, or because this is the most money they can make under their current situation, or, you know, it might be somewhere that has, like, certain benefits that they need. So, like, don't shit on people for having that job. Be mad at the employers and work with labor unions, work with the workers, work with the people who are getting fucked over. Don't work with the fucking bosses and be like, oh, I'm not gonna tip you either. Cause that's some asshole shit. Don't do that shit. All right. So that is the end of my news stories, which means it is time for Ricky, who is...
Ricky is fucking black.
No, I'm just totally kidding. Ricky's not actually coming on. I just wanted to play that because I don't have a bumper. I need a bumper of someone saying something like, and now it's time for Phoenix Kalita to rant about things. Hey. And I do have a rant because this is something that's been bugging me because, you know, obviously I'm black. Ha ha. Ha ha. Very, very black, doing very, very Negro type things.
Negroes doing Negro stuff,
that kind of thing. But also, you know, I'm in a lot of black spaces or adjacent to black spaces, you know, in especially on social media. And something that I keep seeing, like, this trend of is really shaming black mothers and really coming down on black mothers. And a lot of it is niggas who is like young, right? So they're like in like their 20s. Some people in their, you know, like early 30s, but most of the people complaining are in their 20s. And this, like, it legit fucking bothers me, right? Because here's the thing, is y'all want to talk about, like, you know, my mother isn't, you know, she doesn't understand pronouns, or she doesn't understand people who are trans, or she's not accepting of anybody who identifies as like queer or bisexual or gay or lesbian, or you know, all these old-fashioned ideas parents have. And I'm not going to justify being an abusive parent, you know? I definitely think a lot of black parents could do better. But the amount of, like, blame I see aimed at black mothers, it's too much. It's too much, right? Because here's the whole thing that, like, my issue, right, is that I see y'all, and y'all be like, well, they should this, and they should that, and this, that, and the other. But at the same time, y'all don't take into account how your parents came up or where your parents came from. Like, if you're, you know, if you bring it back and think about it, right? So, like, if you are, I made a post about it too. Where is my post? Where is my post? Oh, here it is. Okay. So, I'm just going to read my post So I said, y'all make me tired, always coming for black moms. A lot of the folks coming for black mothers are 20 to 30 years old, which means your mom is 45 or more. But if your mom is 45, that means she was born in 1972. So she hit puberty at the height of the crack epidemic in the 80s, right? So if your mom was born like in the early 70s, late 60s, when she was becoming a teenager, it was during a fucking crack epidemic that devastated our communities, okay? Her parents might have been abused during the civil rights movement. They might have been, one of her parents may have been lynched during, you know, the Jim Crow era. Her parents had to live through Jim Crow and teach her a certain way to behave to try to, avoid being victimized by white people, you know? So it's like when you come up in an era where your older family members are being literally, you know, lynched and jumped and attacked for, you know, things like trying to vote or, you know, trying to use like the white only bathroom. Like, that's wild. I don't think y'all appreciate that shit. Like, our parents couldn't, you know, shit in a white only bathroom, or our grandparents couldn't shit in a white only bathroom. And then very next, like, set, you know, generation had to deal with the fucking crack epidemic when they came up. And y'all be like, why don't they know? Like, I don't know how the fuck you thought somebody who grew up during a crack epidemic watching their friends and family overdose and die or get, you know, life sentences in prison just coming right after Jim Crow, right? Because Jim Crow and the Civil Rights Movement, that shit was in the 60s, right? Like, that's when it really was, like, popping, you know, as far as trying to get the vote, you know, Martin Luther King, as far as the, you know, the strikes and the riots and the protests and, you know, all that shit. And then 20 years later, we have the fucking crack epidemic in the hood, and we have Reagan, I might add, as well. And it's like, y'all are really shocked that somebody who came up like that has maladaptive behaviors? Really? So our parents lived through the Reagan administration while being vilified as welfare queens, and they never had Google, right? That's the thing. A lot of y'all, like, came up with the internet. This is normal to you. But us old niggas, right? And niggas older than me, and I'm in my 30s, niggas older than me never had Google. We couldn't fucking Google, like, what the fuck is trans? We couldn't Google, like, I think I'm attracted to women, but I'm also attracted to men. Is something wrong with me, right? You couldn't tell anybody about that shit. You just kept that shit to yourself, you know? And you couldn't be like, I'm gonna Yahoo search, what is bipolar? I seem to have a lot of mood swings. Why is that? You couldn't fucking Google, like, this is PTSD, or this is what triggered is, or this is what a panic attack or an anxiety attack is. You couldn't fucking Google that shit. You couldn't fucking search that shit on the internet. You just lived with it and suffered, because not only was it not talked about then, it was talked about even less in black communities, because anytime a black person shows symptoms of something, they're either, like, labeled as being weak, or they're fucking labeled as, like, faking it, right? Like, you're faking it for attention, or you're faking it because this is a drug-seeking behavior and shit like that. But, you know, niggas been having mental health problems because it's hard to be black, right? And then again, I can't reiterate enough, consider a bunch of y'all's parents lived through Jim Crow and the Civil Rights Movement, a bunch of y'all's parents lived through the fucking crack epidemic, and y'all want to be like, well, it's not my fault they have mental health problems. It's not their fault either, nigga. Like, it was fucking tough, you know? This is still back, you know, I mean, patriarchy is still obviously here. It's alive and well, but, you know, you take it back 30, 40 years, 50 years, patriarchy was even stronger then. We had black women who couldn't get, you know, women in general, who couldn't get, like, fucking credit cards and shit without a husband's approval. They couldn't get sterilized. They couldn't get abortions and shit without a husband's approval. You know, like, it was fucking rough for women, especially black women, you know? And it's like, I don't know how you can take somebody who's known that they haven't been heterosexual their whole life, but has never been able to express it or be out about it for like 50 years. Imagine like 50 fucking years of knowing that you're not heterosexual, but you've never been able to tell anybody. Yeah, you might have some maladaptive fucking behavior stored up in there, right? And this is the thing, though, is like, y'all want to be like, well, my parents should know better, my parents are abusive, or black mothers this and black mothers that, and black mothers tear us down, and black mothers beat their kids too much. And I'm not going to defend that kind of thing, right? Like, I'm not saying you should beat your kids. I don't think you should hit your kids, but I understand why a black mother would think that, you know, if I beat the shit out of my child, I can teach them to fear me, and if they learn how to be fearful and obedient, that might save them during a police encounter one day. Like, I didn't say it was healthy. I just said that your mama trying to keep your ass alive, you know? I can understand how, You know, parents are ashamed of their children coming out as gay or queer or bisexual. That doesn't mean I approve of it. That doesn't mean I think it's okay or I think it's right. But I do understand, like, you know, that a parent would be scared of how their daughter would be treated if people knew she was a lesbian. Like, she's gonna get correctively raped if she's a black girl. You know, she's gonna be picked on or beaten up and assaulted because she's, you know, presenting as too masculine if she happens to be butch. Because if you have a son, he's gonna be picked on and raped and beaten and made fun of, you know, for being gay. Like, I understand where these fears come from. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying that black parents, especially black mothers, need to behave this way. But y'all pretend that they just, like, woke up one day and was like, how can I be the most fucking harmful ass person as possible to my child? How the fuck can I, you know, abuse my kid? How the fuck can I, you know, fuck up my kid? Like, they're not waking up, you know, being fucking sadists wanting to hurt you. They're fucking people who came up broken and don't know how to be better because they've never had an environment that's been loving and healing and accepting where they could learn how to be a better person. All they know is that you're their child, they love you, and they're just trying to keep you alive. You know? And maybe you'll figure it out, or maybe your kids will figure it out, or the, you know, their grandchildren will figure it out. You know, you gotta move it forward to the next generation. But it's not like they gotta be like, how can I be an asshole today? That's not what the fuck black parents are doing, especially black mothers. And it's like pissing me off that y'all really vilify them like that, you know? And like for myself, like I can say I'm not the best parent ever. There's things that I regret about my parenting. There's times I've lost my temper with my kids when I shouldn't have. You know, I'm not as always as understanding or as compassionate as maybe I should be. But that's not because I don't love my children. But it is because, you know, I came up in some fucked up situations. Like, and you know, I'm not gonna go through like everything just because that would be a whole other segment because it's fucking long as shit. But, you know, like, yeah, like I've been raped a lot. Like, I've been beaten a lot. Like, I literally, from you know, the house I went to for foster care and ended up being adopted into, like, I literally have scars all over my body from times that I was burned and times that I was cut and times that I was hit. And, you know, like, I have permanent scars in my face because someone you know, shut a door on my head and my face went through the glass pane of the door. I have burn marks on my arms where they burned me. I have scars on my arms where they cut me. Like, and that's just like the outside shit. That's not counting the inside shit of, like, you know, constantly being told, like, you know, I was ugly because I was black, or, you know, making jokes about, like, I was the milkman's baby because I was the, you know, and I know I'm not even dark skinned, like, I get it, like, you know, but in context, you know, I was the darkest in my family out of my biological family. So I was constantly being made fun of and being told, like, I was like the, you know, like the milkman's baby because I was the darkest one and I didn't look like anybody. And, you know, constantly being told that, like, my hair was disgusting and ugly and I had to have it straightened, and I would always have, like sores on my head from getting it relaxed, you know? And it's like, yeah, I've been through a lot and I've learned how to navigate it by sometimes doing things that aren't necessarily healthy or aren't necessarily good or aren't necessarily positive. And unfortunately, if I'm being honest, sometimes that trickles over to my parenting. That doesn't mean I don't love my children just because I have some regrets about some of the things I've done, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I need y'all to understand that because I sometimes fuck up as a parent and other black parents fuck up. It's not because we want to be bad or horrible or we want to hurt our children. It's because we literally lived through hell and back and have never had a chance to fucking heal from that. So it's like really fucking, like, y'all just some, y'all fucking whining, honestly, when you're like, they're not supportive enough. Okay, they might not be supportive enough, but why aren't they supportive enough? Is it because they're an asshole, or is it because they have a fuck ton of decades of recognized and undealt with trauma of their own? Like, I don't know how the fuck y'all niggas be expecting broken ass people to be perfect parents. That's not how it works, you know? And, like, that shit really pisses me off. And, you know, somebody who said, you know, as I wrote this post on Facebook, somebody who responded, Tally, which we appreciate, a Patreon subscriber, thank you, said, I needed to read this today, was thinking about my mother on the way to work, and remembered there ain't a person alive who could outthink her. I dealt with some typical anti-black bullshit this morning, and these white folks being kind to me because they read me as an acceptable black because I went to college. I walked away steaming, and I couldn't say anything because I was working, but in my head, I was like, bitch, my mother's fucking brilliance and compassion could set the world on fire, but you think you somebody. You know, and what struck me as I walked away more than anything is how I didn't recognize my mother was the most critical and wonderful person in my life. My mother shouldn't be alive. She survived neglect that should have destroyed her brain. Once I had a mouse and called her crying, she said, a mouse in the apartment. And Tally's mom said, I'm not scared of mice because she was she was excited to see mice as pets as a child because she was just happy to see anything that was still alive. You know, so Tally's saying, like, you know, their mom survived and is surviving in a world that would do anything to destroy black women. I will be ashamed at how many years I didn't realize how great she is, as well as black women in general. Internalized misogynoir had me overlooking, along with everyone else, the best person I know. And, you know, this is the thing. And someone else in the comments, Rosa, said, thank you. This is why I'm not mad at my granny. Could she be mean? Yeah. Did she do abusive things? Yeah. However, my granny went through things I'll never experience. She was obviously dealing with mental illness, most likely depression and ADHD, without ever getting a diagnosis. My great grandma was said to be mean, but looking at my family history, she was listed as the informant on 3 or 4 death records, and 2 of them were shootings. So she saw a lot and probably had PTSD. And this is that shit I'm talking about, is like, and I'm not saying, like, people now, like, you know, black women now aren't living through shit, but at least, like, y'all have online communities where you can go and vent. Y'all have names for shit, right? Like, autism has a name now. Like, back then, you was just crazy, or you was just stupid, or you was, you know, like, you was just dumb. Like, you didn't have a name for what was wrong with you. And then even after names for diagnoses came in, they were still not applied to black women. They're still not applied to black women now. Appropriately, like, it's hard to get a diagnosis if you have, like, ADD or OCD or, you know, some sort of, you know, mental health issue. Now, as a black woman, it's hard to get a diagnosis. Imagine what the fuck it was like 40 fucking years ago. But y'all be like, how come my parents aren't good enough? How come my mother this? How come my mother that? Because she been through some shit. That's why. So I really need y'all to, like, calm the fuck down with this fucking anti-blackness, which is really what it is y'all are so quick to use anti-blackness to call out anti-blackness. You're like, it's only black mothers that this, or black mothers need to stop that. And it's like, first of all, stop generalizing black mothers, but also more importantly, instead of just saying black mothers are the problem, think about how and why we are where we are. You know, this didn't happen overnight. You know, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. This is the, you know, the end result of capitalism. This is the end result of patriarchy. This is, you know, forced heteronormativity. This is slut shaming. This is poverty. This is undiagnosed mental illness. This is undiagnosed addictions. There is all kinds of shit happening. And y'all just want to be like, I don't know why my black mother can't be better. Have you fucking sat down and, like, listened to shit your mama been through? I guarantee your mama been through some shit. Like, how are you gonna be like, yeah, so I know that you're the male, you know, the, like, the older people in your family died and were lynched during Jim Crow or got fucked up by police because they were marching with King. And I know you watched all your friends OD during the crack epidemic. And I know you have an undiagnosed mental illness and you probably have PTSD and you've been poor and struggling your whole life, but why aren't you emotionally available? Are you fucking serious right now? That's why the fuck your mother is not as emotionally available as you want. So, yeah, encourage your mother to be better. Love your mother. You know, be like, hey, this is important to me. And sit down and have a fucking conversation. I'm not saying that parents should be abusive, but be fucking honest about why your parents are the way they fucking are. Odds are, it's because your fucking parents lived through some shit and haven't had an opportunity to heal from it. You cannot expect perfection from broken people. You can't even expect perfection from well-adjusted, normal people, let alone people who are still trying to fucking recover from childhood traumas and shit, right? Like, y'all need to calm the fuck down and stop that. Stop that shit. Like, that's like some Tumblr kid shit. Y'all need to fucking stop that shit. Your parents have been through some things, and y'all need to understand that and come to your parents with a little bit of compassion when you try to work it out and explain it, you know? And then, I mean, if your parents don't want to be abusive, then at that point, that's a whole different thing. But to pretend your parents should just off scratch, you know how to fucking be like, I can use all the Tumblr SJW lingo. No, the fuck they can't. And if you don't want to take time to teach them or explain it to them or help them deal with their own fucking baggage, y'all fucking tripping. Y'all, that's the whole thing, is y'all fucking tripping. So that's all I have to say about that. All right, that was my rants. I am done getting ready to clock out here. Please remember that you can always hit us up on patreon.com/winecellarmediafund for $5 a month if you would like access to exclusive content. We are doing another After Dark episode Saturday or Sunday, I think. You can also hit us up with a one-time donation on paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. And of course, please feel free to follow me on Twitter. I talk a lot of shit there. At uppity negris, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's. And then of course, if you are not a Twitter person, hey, we have a Facebook presence. You can check out our public page, Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice, or you can check me out at Reading in the Shade. But if you are a group person who wants to share news stories and talk about politics and do that news nerd shit that we do, we also have a group for the Social Dissonance page. If you want to be part of that, let me fucking know. I will add you. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's everything. Fuck yeah. This episode's a little bit short. We usually do like an hour. This one I think is like 46 minutes, but my throat is dry. I've been talking a lot and shit. So please stay as safe as possible wherever you are. Please be kind to your black mother. She probably has a fuck ton of lived experience and trauma. Fight this administration any way you can. Push the Democrats to be better. I guess celebrate the weather because it actually feels like winter, at least where I am. Maybe it feels like winter where y'all are. I don't know. Be kind to one another. Love one another. Hug people you love. Stay safe. Find a safe space. You deserve it. All right. I think that is all I got. Yeah. Love yourself.
This show is so reverse racist.
Have a good night, y'all.